The music biopic is the new blockbuster film genre that everybody's all excited about. But there have been movies and TV shows and television movies, as a matter of fact, with musicians as characters going back decades. Now, we're not talking about documentaries or musicians who like to act, Meatloaf. This is a show about actors who played musicians on the big and small screens. And not just the actors, but the characters and the movies themselves. And we are going to be talking about the greatest of the great of these great how many more times can I say great? Rock biopics. Stick around while I say great a few more times.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
Welcome back, everybody. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus is in your face one more time. We're going to be talking about the greatest biopics of all time, the greatest rock and music biopics of all time, biopics, however you guys like to say it. You say tomato, I say Lily V6. Our website is LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Check back often. Tons of great podcasts there. Shout out to our affiliates, Classic 92.3 and Rock Rage Radio. We couldn't do this without your support. We really appreciate you guys. Who else do I need to thank? Oh, shout out to Wolf's Customs, our sponsor. You can go to wolfscustoms.com, get some great custom paintwork on your instruments. So talk to Chris Thunderwolf Dotson. He's been a longtime fan and supporter of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and we love him with all our hearts.
And he is watching, of course.
And he is watching. Chris, thank you so much. Oh, hey, hit that share button real quick, guys. Before we get into tonight's show, make sure that you hit the share button. If you're listening to this in the replay, if you are listening live with us on Facebook, share it wherever you like, your own personal profile, share it on whatever social media platform you like. Just hit that share button, because this is how, you know, the world finds out about, not just so much about the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, but about the great bands we play here. And speaking of great bands, tonight we're going to be playing Stone Cold Killer. You know them?
I do know them
great
very well.
Great Pittsburgh band. Lady Beast, Dark Entries, and of course Lou Lombardi. So we will be getting into all that music and everything here in a little bit. We have the Full Power Trio with us tonight, so I'm really excited. I was 2 weeks in a row, like, I don't know how to act. Sitting with me here in the studio tonight is our resident rock historian and queen of all things rock and roll, Miss Lily V6. What's up, Lily?
What's up, Mr. Stutters today?
Yeah, I know.
We just need to kick up the volume a little bit, I guess, still.
More volume.
But doing great. I went to photograph Breaking Benjamin on Friday out at KeyBank Pavilion, which I still call Star Lake for us older people. And that was a lot of fun. Don't think I ever want to take photos from the pit there again, though. I don't think I like that.
Photos from the pit.
I don't like that idea. Ever again, kicked in the face by things. And yeah, I'm not a fan. It's very rushy, and I'm just going to do my own thing from now on.
It's rushy.
Don't like it.
Speaking of rushy, who do we have there but the man behind the mirrored sunglasses?
It's a Blues Brother.
This is Juliet Jake speaking to you straight from the grave. Or New Orleans. That's who I am tonight, so.
We got Juliet Jake.
I touched something.
And we'll have to take a break and fix that later. But so what's up, Juliet Jake? How's it going down there in New Orleans?
It's good. It's rainy.
Is it?
Very rainy today. And there's two different kind of days here. It's either 95 degrees with the heat index of 175, or it's raining. There's no in between here.
That's all you get.
This is it. I'm just warning you, in case you come back. I don't think that it was hot as hell when you were here, but it didn't rain. Luckily.
Yeah, unfortunately.
All right.
Dang. Here, it rained.
We got Juliet Jake in the house. We got Lily V6. My name's Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Guys, please check us out in our private group afterwards. We get a little bit crazy a little bit later on. So you can go to LouLombardiRocks.com and you get access to our private group where we're going to be talking about a totally different subject. Just to give you a heads up, the release of the song Enter Sandman. This is the anniversary of when it first came out. And so we're going to be kind of like talking about that. I know some people hate Enter Sandman, Lily. And some people like, it's a cool song. It put, you know, it gave Metallica their big break into the pop mainstream. So there's good and bad about that. So we're going to be talking about that in a little bit later on. Biopics. So guys, get them all ready. We are live here for you guys tonight. Let us know which ones that you want to talk about. We had some of you guys chime in on Facebook this week, so we're going to be talking about your picks as well. But I'm really excited to play a band first. We're going to start off with Stone Cold Killers, a track from the album Behind Bars, Hell to Pay on the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus. Love that name. You guys hit gold with that name. StoneColdKiller.com. Go check those bad boys out.
Their shirts are pretty cool, too. They got, like, the neon thing going on. I like it. I have one. Almost wore it tonight.
Yeah, I'm totally digging this band. I don't know how I missed them. I don't know how I think that I had seen like the name popping up in social media, but I just never got around to like checking them out. And is it Mike Custra? Is that you know Mike Custra?
Yeah.
He sent me a thing saying that they're going to be doing a Guns N' Roses tribute.
Saturday. It was Saturday.
It was already over. I missed it. But in any case, so I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to go see it, but
I was working.
So that brought you guys into my awareness. So you got played on the world famous Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. So good for you guys. Biopics.
Yeah.
We're gonna go around the room. Going around the room. Hey, what are you drinking, Juliet, Jake?
Julia Child.
It's Joliet, man. It's
That's what I said, Joliet.
All right, I thought you said Juliet. This ain't a Romeo.
Joliet. Romeo and Joliet. Are you the Romeo of Joliet?
ten hard years in Joliet. Where's Elwood at? I'm drinking whiskey.
Brand?
Old Forester.
Nice.
I'm telling you, try it out, man. It's a good Kentucky bourbon, actually.
All right, my man. I got my Knob Creek. So we are in full swing. Let's we'll start with Jake. What do you got, brother? And you can't say the Blues Brothers the first one.
Well, that's the whole reason I wanted to do this show. I wanted to talk the movie because that's one of the greatest movies, you know.
Go ahead. About music. Go ahead, talk about it. Go ahead.
No.
I'm teasing you.
I want to do one of the. I think this guy that did this movie. In my opinion, this was the peak of his career, and you'll probably disagree with this. He did nothing good after this, except for be weird. But Gary Busey in the Buddy Holly story, he was pretty awesome, man.
That's a fucking great movie.
He emulated Buddy Holly in
that. Yeah, I mean, it's one. I watched that on regular television. Was that a TV movie? Because I don't remember. I remember seeing it on TV. I don't remember being in a movie theater.
I mean, it's one of them things where you could probably be, you know, put it on TV movie. I don't know where it actually, you know, it's. Origin came from, but it's not that graphic that you could not put it on television. So I mean, but that's other than that, Gary Busey's career has really, I don't know what he did after that. That was good, but that was his pinnacle. But he was really good in that movie, and I think that Buddy Holly unfortunately had a very short career, but a very impactful career on the early stages of rock and roll. And met a tragic end, but Gary Busey's portrayal of him nailed it, man. I mean, if you're into Buddy Holly's music and take time to watch his mannerisms and the way he looked, and Gary Busey put that shit down, man. He got that, that was a 10 out of 10, even with a really good landing. So that's it.
Wow. Too soon.
Too soon.
Well, to add to that, that actually is one of the very rare movies that got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Wow.
Yes, and it made $14 million on a $1 million budget.
That's a nice profit, huh?
Right?
Damn.
So, yes, that's a good one.
So it was a theatrical release.
Yes.
I
didn't want to interject.
When was it released?
That I did not. No, I did. I lied. I did write it. Give me a second.
Okay.
1978.
Okay. I thought it was the 70s because it was before I would have been about 10, 11 years old. The only movie that I'd seen in the theater at that point was Star Wars. So
I was negative two.
Yeah. So, I mean, you were negative two. So I wasn't really aware of much that was going on with movies probably at that time. So
1978?
Yeah. I did see it on television. We were at a friend's house, my friends and my parents. I was bored out of my mind. They had like little kids that I couldn't play with. And so I was in the TV room watching, and that came on, and I was absolutely riveted by it at 10, 11 years old. So if you know, if it could get a kid, you know, must have something going on. So what do you got, Lil? What do you got on your list?
I do have a TV movie that I put on here. I think it's the only one I put on here. It's Elvis, portrayed by Kurt Russell, which, I mean, he's really an amazing Elvis impersonator. It could be him. If you didn't know any better, it could definitely be him. This, like I said, it was a TV movie, and it, 1979, it covered the rise of music legend Elvis Presley. However, it stopped in the 1970, so it doesn't go any further than that. Doesn't go into his death or anything. Talks about his parents. His Kurt Russell's dad actually played Vernon Presley in the movie.
Oh, neat. I did not know that.
And it originally aired on ABC and against Gone with the Wind and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It beat both of those out because you know how they play those like once a year so everybody can watch the 16-hour freaking Gone with the Wind.
Well, wait a minute. So what was the movie called? Was it called Elvis?
Elvis.
Which is called Elvis.
Yes.
Okay.
And
I remember that Kurt Russell was in a movie and it was about Elvis and I'd seen it, but I didn't know it was just called Elvis.
And a fun fact, Kurt Russell also played Elvis in Forrest Gump. That was him.
Yes, he did that. He's also, isn't he in the one with the three guys?
Yeah, and I can't think of the name of that movie.
Bank robbers or something with Kevin Costner and Christian Slater? All three of them play Elvises.
Think so. Yeah, I think
and
so.
Kurt Russell, I believe, is in that as well. So he just can't get away from
He's just Elvis.
He just is Elvis.
He's very good as Elvis as in Escape from New York when he played Snake Elvis. Right.
Oh, and that's a John Carpenter film too, Elvis.
Yes, it is a John Carpenter.
Which is... cool as
I love that. I can still watch the movie to this day, not the second one. The first one's a cult classic, but I digress.
Okay. So, do you guys want me to say one?
Yeah.
Can I say one, please? Please, can I say one? Can I please say one?
Mr. Carter.
This is a power, so I don't want to skip turns.
Well, okay. You sure? Am I allowed? Am I allowed to talk?
No,
hey. They don't ever allow me to talk on this thing anymore.
Oh, that's such BS. You always talk.
Yeah, you talk fucking too much, actually.
Whoa, language. I'm going to pick Get On Up. It was produced by Mick Jagger. It is the story of James Brown. And it is absolutely... I don't know if it's a good movie or not, but it's hilarious. It's wildly entertaining. And I don't know if James Brown did half this shit, like he lived just this like insane life. And it shows the good and the bad. So I liked it. It was released a few years ago. 2014 it wasn't real old, but, the opening scene where he talks about having to take a shit. It's just like, what? That's how it starts. James Brown said, sometime. They have to take a shit. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
All that's like very like true in that movie. I mean, it's not only did he was the hardest working man in show business and would fire his band on a whim and replace him with other members and you know dock him for being 5 seconds late to a rehearsal, but he also shot a shotgun through through the ceiling because somebody used his bathroom, one of his buildings. And he had to stand off with the police. And, I mean, James Brown was, a funk legend. But at the same time, he was he got a little crazy towards the end there. But Chadwick Boseman is the actor, and he did a fantastic job.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying you didn't like it. Okay.
No, it's great.
Yeah, I thought it was a really fun movie.
Definitely, it would definitely make my top 10 list. And I think that he's a really good actor. And I think he definitely, because that's not something you can just, like, kind of bullshit your way through. I mean, you got to get that. All his dance moves down. You got to get his voice that was like definitely different. I mean,
his energy.
He mumbled a lot of times. I mean, look at his lyrics. He's the only guy I know to make a lyric. So I mean, that's what are you gonna do? But just to nail all that shit is like that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I really fun. If you've never seen it, it's definitely worth a watch. So it's a good time. It's just like a. It's just a really good, there's some heavier moments in it, but it's just like, one of those like, sort of truth is stranger than fiction kind of stories. Like he lived a crazy life. He was a maniac in a good way.
And bad ways.
Yeah. And good and bad. So what do you got, Keith? Your turn.
Still made some kick-ass music though. What am I going to do now? I'm going to say that, I'm not a huge fan of this band, but this guy nailed this stuff. Val Kilmer as Jim Morrison in The Doors is pretty kick-ass. It made me actually want to watch the movie. Oliver Stone directed it, who that's, no slouch himself. But not only was Val Kilmer turned himself into Jim Morrison with all of, like, I'm pretty sure he sang some of the parts. Even Ray Manzarek was quoted as saying that he couldn't tell the difference between the two voices when they were doing the movie, where they would do the some of the Jim stuff, and then Val would do his own vocals, and he said it was pretty damn close. But I think that not only did Val Kilmer do a great job in that movie, I also think that the supporting cast, the rest of the Doors, the Kevin Dillons, Kyle MacLachlan's, they did a really good job. There's some funny shit. There's some funny dialogue between the band members that was pretty memorable. Some parts, you know, that were, if you watch the whole movie, were pretty good. But yeah, he nailed that. I mean, if you're going to do a study in, you know, a legendary musician like that or singer, we'll give him the two thumbs up for in my camp here. So very good job.
That one's on my list as well. I also read, though, that the bandmates and friends and family did not like that movie because of how poorly Jim Morrison was portrayed. But, I mean, isn't it all true? So it came out in 1991, made $34 million on a $38 million budget. So it lost money.
Lost money. Still a classic.
Still a great movie. I love
it. I'm sure that whatever it lost and made up in home video and licensing to places like Netflix.
Everybody
and
in
Amazon.
Music watches it.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's just,
you know,
like, I own it.
I have it.
Yeah, it's it's a good movie to get stoned to and watch and kind of, like, you know, imagine you're back in the 60s, you know, tripping hard. It's a good time. It's a really good time. What do you got, Lil?
I'm going to talk about the movie The Runaways and Dakota Fanning as Sherry Curie. I think she did a great job in the movie portraying Sherry. She did, like, the whole dancing, the dressing. She, like, even Sherry herself loved Dakota Fanning. Kristen Stewart, on the other hand, I don't think did a great job as Joan Jett, because, I'm sorry, that girl acts the same way in every movie. She bores me to death. But that came out in 2010, and it sort of was based on Sherry's book, so it was kind of biased. The book was Neon Angel. The formation of the band.
Michael Shannon played...
I don't know who plays him.
Yeah.
Is that Michael Shannon? Yeah. He's great. Yeah. He's one of those guys just like, not
he's
a super big Hollywood star, but he's like, even if the movie isn't very good, like, he was in Bug, and that's a kind of ant movie, but he's, like, really good in it. Like, it, you know, it's just, he's like Lance Henriksen, who could be in he's good. Even the movie sucks. Like, he's good. Like, he like puts his balls into it, you know,
his balls.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It talks about the band from 1975 until Sherry finally left the band. It only made $4.7 million on a $10 million budget. Got mostly favorable reviews, though. And Curie herself didn't really like it because she said a lot of her book was left out.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to take your book.
Right.
That's, you know, and make it like a 7-hour movie.
Right.
No.
But overall, I did like it, other than Kristen Stewart being Joan Jett. And I really, really thought it was going to be great with her as Joan Jett, but I just wasn't my favorite. However, Sherry did a great job.
Yeah, she gets a lot of... Kristen Stewart is not considered, like, by a lot of people. She gets a lot of shit about her acting.
She's super boring.
And quite frankly, I haven't seen her... that may be the only movie I've ever seen her in.
Really?
So to me, it was okay. Like, I didn't think one way or another about it, because I don't know. She's in that Twilight stuff.
I don't watch that, but watch Adventureland about Kennywood.
Okay.
It's the same acting.
Is it? I never saw that either.
She's definitely in that.
Okay. Well, I'm not here to defend or criticize. I don't know anything. Like I said, I'm not a
Kristen Stewart. I actually did a good job in that movie, and I think that she became, like, she did a lot of the Joan Jett, like, that bending over, playing the guitar kind of thing, where she, like, almost plays the guitar friggin' hunchbacked at some points. I mean, whenever you watch Joan Jett play guitar, she has that, like, hunched over kind of, like, posture when she does that.
Yeah.
I mean, Sherry Curie can do what she wants, but Joan Jett went on to have a friggin' way better career.
Oh, yeah.
Any of those girls. And I think Kristen Stewart kind of, I'm not saying she's a great actress, but in that movie, I think that was her best portrayal of, you know, a character, because anything else she does is pretty much flatline. She just does the same thing over and over again. But
I mean, that worked in her favor because of her acting, but it's just, that's exactly what I see in every movie.
she's not a good actress at all, and that's way overhyped. I think in that movie she actually did pull off a Joan Jett vibe, and Dakota Fanning was good, but I think Kristen Stewart actually stole that movie, in my opinion. But I mean, and I don't even know the girl to play Lita Ford and the drummer.
Nobody does, and guess what? Lita Ford and the other girl is mad.
Sure. I couldn't even name the drummer in that band, which I'm pretty good with that trivia shit. I couldn't tell you who the drummer in Runaways was.
I'm going to pick one. I'm looking at this Discover Music, youdiscovermusic.com, and this one I do not believe is on the list, what I can't believe. But it's Cadillac, not Cadillac, Cadillac Records.
Well, oh, yeah, I did not see that, but I have it.
That is a, I like that movie. I love Mos Def's portrayal of Chuck Berry. I think it's brilliant. I think he's got that whole, in my opinion, he is Chuck Berry in that. Everybody, I think, in that movie did a great job. And I felt that really kind of puts you in the space of that Chess Records formation and those artists and what they went through. It is not the most edgy of all the movies. I mean, you look at a movie like Bird, which is but that's a Clint Eastwood movie, so that's going to be like a way deeper kind of film. This is, a lot of people kind of maybe thought this was kind of superficial or whatever, but I thought it was a kind of like fitting tribute to what happened to, those artists and how they kind of like got their sort of like break with Chess Records. I don't know if anybody here wants to comment on that or not.
I didn't get to see it yet.
I actually have Cadillac Records on my list, and instead of having like a specific actor or actress on that, I put the entire cast was brilliant because they were all great in that movie.
Got to give Beyonce, man. You got to give that bitch her due on that.
Mos Def was amazing in that movie. Jeffrey Wright as Muddy Waters was awesome. I can't remember the cat that played played Howling Wolf, but he was great. He had the deep voice and just, Little Walter's character. I don't know that cat.
Willie, who played Willie Dixon? He's a really famous dude.
Oh, that was Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah. Cedric the Entertainer. Yeah.
He's a good actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think anybody really, they all stand out. You can't really point a finger and say, well, that dude or girl kicks ass. And it's just, they all like killed that movie, and it's a great flick. I mean, I've watched that movie umpteen times, and I think that I could watch it probably again and again and again because it just shows, it shows that early period of rock and roll that, just.
By the way, you have a really good topic, I think, for a future podcast. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We need to take a break and play a band. This is Lady Beast, Vicious Breed on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
We'll be right back.
Lady Beast. Lady Beasta. Vicious Breed. Yes. Not to be confused with Nightbreed. Vicious Breed. Lady Beast. And let's give you a little bit of Lady Beast. You can go to ladybeast.bandcamp.com and you can get all your Lady Beast needs met right there. Ladybeast.bandcamp.com. If you have not hit the share button already, shame on you. Hit the share button. Hit that share button, okay? Not share, C-H-E-R. Share, S-H-A-R-E, okay? Let's get that. Let's get that correct. There is no. That'd be great. That'd be hilarious, though, if one day Facebook, just was a, like an April Fool's joke, had a share button. They had like share's face. You know? It'd just be funny. I like goofy shit like that. Want to support what we're doing? You could go to Patreon, patreon.com/Lou Lombardi. Throw us a buck, $5, whatever. If you join at the $15 level, we'll give you your own spot on this show, so it might be something you might want to try. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so
you can sit by me.
We are talking about biopics, and we've hit some good ones so far. I mean, do you guys know of any that are like really terrible before we move on?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, almost all the ones I've seen have been like at least pretty good.
That bird, the bird you were talking about yeah. Charlie Parker?
Yeah.
That was awful, man.
Really?
I didn't like it at all.
I liked it.
Another one I didn't like was the one that I would put. He's a great actor, but Don Cheadle and Miles Away. What the one with Miles Davis? That
I did not see that. I did not see
it. Well, it's just I don't know, man. I mean, he does a great job. He's just a good actor. He just can't. You can't polish a third, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
If I watch it again, it just seemed. And I know a lot of people bitched it wasn't factually correct a lot of times. So. I don't know, Miles.
There's one that I saw was pretty weak too about Jimi Hendrix. It was a Netflix original. And what's his name?
That's the one with Andre Benjamin in it.
Yeah. And that was a little like here's how cheap it was. Everybody knows Jimi Hendrix played a Fender Stratocaster. They had him walking around with some like Samick or like some like off-brand
so
guitar.
Completely wrong.
It wasn't
guitar.
Even made at that time.
Well, that sucks. I did want to see that. No.
Yeah, it's like.
I mean, I'll still watch it.
It's just, it bothered me. Like, it was just like, really?
Well,
you couldn't get Fender to like, it made me think that like the movie, there was so little faith placed in the movie that even Fender Guitars wasn't willing to like have their name attached to it.
They're like, nah.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
I did want to see that one, though.
Yeah, I've seen that one once, and I don't even think I made it through the whole thing. Another one that you two will probably disagree with, The Dirt was just shit.
I love The Dirt.
I love The Dirt, too. I love it, too. Actually, that's next on my list.
I think I've seen it three times.
Fuck, yeah. I mean, seriously, the freaking acting in that is just... I've seen better acting in porn, man.
I don't know. It didn't bother me. I thought it was such a fun story, and I really believed those guys were Motley Crue, because I would imagine Motley Crue being just like that.
There's two actors in it that did very well, I think.
So why don't you go ahead... Lily, you are the dirt queen, so why don't you talk about The Dirt? We know what Keith thinks.
As much as I didn't... I really wanted to hate The Dirt. I actually really did, because I thought they were going to botch it to death, but... Machine Gun Kelly as Tommy Lee did a fantastic job, and Tony Cavallaro as Ozzy Osbourne did a fantastic job, and that's the reason I like the movie. I know Tony was only in it for a little bit, but he did Ozzy good, I think. Obviously, it's the 2019 biodrama film about the glam metal band Motley Crue. Went straight to Netflix. It actually was to be like they talked about making this film back in 2006, and. Paramount bought the rights and MTV Films bought the rights, and they finally dropped it for Netflix to purchase the rights in 2017. And I don't know, it doesn't completely cover everything about the book, but what it does cover, they did it correctly. So, and the two actors I mentioned, Machine Gun Kelly and Cavallaro, I just think they did a great job. As far as the other guys, those are their Netflix pool of actors. They're in a lot of Netflix movies.
Yeah.
So that's why they didn't do such great jobs, I don't think. But got 2 out of 5 stars, of course. And Rolling Stone said...
I'm not alone then. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Rolling Stone's the one that gave him 2 out of 5.
That's half.
Right.
That's a C.
But Newsday said a funny foul-mouthed whirlwind ride through one of the last great eras in rock history when wretched excess was part of the job description and bad behavior was a badge of honor. So
I think I just personally just want to throw my two cents in. I think right, Keith, the acting was like, yeah, you know, it wasn't, you know, wasn't.
Yeah, the story itself is fun.
I think a lot of the hate for that movie comes from the fact of the world we live in today, with everybody's ass is so fucking tight, and so everybody is offended at the drop of a fucking hat. And if you think that these rock stars, these guys you like, these, you know, politically correct, you know, alternative artists aren't banging tons of chicks and doing tons of fucking drugs, you are de-fucking-looted, okay? All right? Just because they're not wearing leather pants and have big hair doesn't mean that they aren't partying their asses off and having a good time, okay? So just chill on that. So I have one I would like to throw out at you guys, and I don't know if it's probably on anybody's list. This was not a really big popular movie. I think it was a TV movie. But it was a movie about the Beach Boys. I believe it was called Love and Mercy. And
yes. Two actors you'll throw out.
So, yeah. Or was it Summer Dreams?
No, it's Love and Mercy.
No, it wasn't
Love and Mercy.
Dreams.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm a huge Beach Boys fan. That was my introduction to rock music. My mother had these the Beach Boys' greatest hits. And it was something about, it wasn't Endless Summer, but it was something, everything that they did, it's about summer in it. And I played that record over and over. My favorite Beach Boys song was Little Honda. So, yeah. And I thought it was really kind of showcased their, especially Brian Wilson's artistry. And, you know, they had the tragedy and had all the ups and downs with, you know, everything that everybody went through. So anyways, I'm just putting that out there. That's on my list. Who's next? Keith, you next?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would follow up on that by saying that I think, you know, not only one, but two actors in that, because you have the young Brian Wilson played by Paul Dano or Dano, mm-hmm. I think it is. He's a great actor. And John Cusack plays the, I'm going to go crazy, Brian Wilson, and, yeah. You know, yeah. But in the latter year. But those two deserve a lot of credit. And I think that obviously it focuses on the band, but it should focus more on Brian Wilson, because Brian Wilson is the Beach Boys. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
They were the live band. They were the kind of like good looking surfer guys. Their face was on the thing, but they did sing. What do they call the Wrecking Crew? That was really the band.
I mean, Dennis Wilson was the drummer for the Beach Boys for a reason. Not only was he our brother, but he was better looking than everybody in the band. So they put him back behind the drums and said, "Here, just like get checked." Wasn't a good drummer, so I don't even think he played on any studio stuff. Most of it, not all of it, is Hal Blaine.
Yeah, it's Hal Blaine. Mm-hmm.
And Dennis was just there, you know, dragging the girls, and that's whatever works for you, Dennis. You know, but don't work for me. But anyway,
Before we go too much farther, what's the audience saying tonight, Lil? Who's listening? Let's give our shout outs to the good folks at home.
We got Chris Thunderwolf watching. Henry Kelsey. Snodahim Skirk, Justin Bishop, he also calls it Star Lake, Diana Swens, Earl the Pearl's watching, and he was at the GNR show on Saturday, was killer. Mark Bradley Davis, Tim Doverspike, Lance Campbell's watching, Henry Kelsey said George Strait and Pure Country.
Okay.
I don't know that.
Pure Country. Pure.
Earl the Pearl, Joaquin Phoenix, Johnny Cash, Walk the Line, which is definitely on my list. Tuck Shepherd's watching. Tracy Sampson is watching. Redson Webster's watching. Sean Marks is watching. Henry Kelsey disagrees with MGK being a good Tommy. I think you just don't like Machine Gun Kelly. Because what I'm reading here, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You just hate Machine Gun Kelly. And I get it. I hate him too, but I think he was a great Tommy. Jamie Foxx, Ray Charles and Ray by Diana Swens. She thinks that's a good movie, which I have not seen, so I could not put it on my list.
Okay. So what do we want to talk about next? Keith was up next. What do you got, Keith?
I'm going to go, speaking of George Strait and his little bit of country, I'm going to go a little bit country too, if you don't mind. I'm going to go a little bit, but just a well-done movie. Sissy Spacek and Corey's daughter is a fucking nailed 10 out of 10. Even Loretta Lynn handpicked her for that freaking role.
That was a great movie.
Too. And Loretta Lynn is a country music legend. Sissy Spacek is a freaking Oscar award winning and killer actress. So that's a win-win for everybody. She had that shit so down that I think that, I mean, the Jamie Foxx's Ray, I'm going to bring that up too. Probably one of the better ones I've ever seen, where they actually become that person. It's just Jamie Foxx was that good. Sissy Spacek as Loretta Lynn was that good, as you know, in that role. It's amazing. She had all that, like, unfortunately, if I offend anyone out there, that kind of redneck stupidity that she had. She had that
innocence.
That innocence.
The naivete. Country girl naivete.
I like to call it redneck stupidity, but anyway.
It's the same thing.
trying to be a little nicer about it.
But yeah, she had, that shit is nailed, man. I mean, wow. That's a great flick. I mean, obviously it's from a little bit back in the day at this point, but still stands up.
I watched it recently, dude. It's awesome. It's a great movie.
Tommy Lee Jones is great in it, and he's great and everything. But I mean, there's just some really good just moments in that movie where she's having like some serious issues. Beverly D'Angelo as Patsy Cline, is, you know, then another meets another tragic end. She's really good in that movie. I mean, sometimes, you know, I mean, the supporting cast a lot is lost due to the fact that the movie is about Loretta Lynn, but there's some really good portrayals in that movie other than Sissy Spacek. But she was Loretta Lynn in that movie. Like I said, I read that Loretta Lynn handpicked her for that role when they were doing the biopic about her. So what does that tell you?
Okay. All right. So, Lily, what do you got, girl?
I'm going to go newer since we're running out of time here. I'm going to go with Bohemian Rhapsody, Rami Malek playing Freddie Mercury. Came out in 2018. As everyone knows, it's super new. About the lead singer of Queen. I think Rami was wonderful. I think he emulated him super well. They did great makeup on him to make him look like him. He just... I mean, it was very convincing. Follows the life from the band up to the from the beginning of the band to the 1985 Live Aid performance, which, of course, that made me tear up a little bit, as some music movies do. Brian May and Roger Taylor served as consultants to the film, so they were totally okay with it. However, I did read that Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to be.
He's been trying to get a movie about Freddie Mercury made for like 10 years.
I would have hated it. I cannot stand him. I think it would have been
awful. By the
awful.
Time it got, all started to formulate, he was really, he had gotten a little older and his looks and stuff weren't going to quite
and,
work.
Well, yeah, it was announced originally in 2010. So yeah. I just think the Malek's performance and the music sequences received high praise. It did receive criticism for the inaccuracies, but you know what? They were just trying to fit some shit in the movie. Calm down. But it did gross over $903 million worldwide on a $50 million budget and is the sixth highest grossing film of 2018.
It's a fantastic movie. And if just for the Live Aid thing alone,
that whole sequence,
go to the movie theater where they have the extra big screen, sit close, and you feel like you are at Live Aid. And you get goosebumps. I mean, I was like, oh my God, I had tears in my eyes. I had goosebumps. I was like, this is unreal.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah. I loved every second of that movie. Yeah,
absolutely. You want to add anything to that, Keith?
Yeah, it's a brilliant fucking movie.
Okay.
He was brilliant in that.
I mean, that's
good. That's really all you got to say about it.
it's definitely one of my top five favorite rock bands of all time. Freddie Mercury's my favorite male vocalist of all time. I mean, as a rock vocalist go, he is the epitome of what a rock singer should be.
Best Rami Malek
is amazing in that role. I don't know what else there is to say, man, other than, you know,
it's a raining man.
It's a great flick, and it's just, like I said, there might be some inaccuracies in the movie, but who gives a shit?
I agree. I'm going to throw one out, and I know it's going to be controversial because we have not, nobody, I'm looking at our list here. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think we've talked about a fictional characters, movies yet. And I know you want to talk about the Blues Brothers, but I'm going to throw one out because this movie came out and I missed it. I never saw it until about a week ago.
If you say something like that you should have seen already, I'm going to smack you.
And I was wildly entertained by this. I think it's a super fun, and it's a kind of tongue-in-cheek look at biopics. And it only has it's a certain kind of humor that not everybody's going to appreciate.
Seriously. Is this what I think it is?
I'm going to put Walk Hard on my list.
Get out of here with that shit. Yeah, that's funny, though. That is a funny movie.
I did not like it.
I mean, it's way over the top, kind of the comedy. I mean, you just...
I understand why you wouldn't like it. I think a lot of women wouldn't get it.
I mean, I like John C. Reilly. I love him. I hated that movie. Yeah. I was hoping to love it.
I mean, that movie just tries to be like... I mean, in the serious role, I mean, one person online mentioned it. We didn't mention Joaquin Phoenix as Johnny Cash. That's a brilliant, brilliant portrayal.
And we didn't mention Ray yet either, so, you know.
Another one. I mean, we're not going to have a time to do them all. That's, I mean, these lists are just, they could go on forever. Gary Oldman is Sid Vicious, you know, and Sid and Nancy is another
amazing,
one.
Yeah.
You could go on and on and on. People were talking before about doing the ones that are like the almost famous for Russell Hammonds and all those guys. And more,
I think I would be on, in terms of fictional ones, that would be on my list, yeah.
Yeah, there's some great shit that was, you know, if you want to go as far as saying Danny Bonaducci, that's up to you. But, I mean.
The Partridge Family.
Yeah, there's really good ones that are just, we just don't have time to do them all. But, I mean, the great ones are, you know, the ones we've named. I mean, another one is Lou Diamond Phillips is.
Richie.
Fallon.
Yeah, he's on my list.
La Bamba. Another,
my list was rather lengthy this week.
Yeah, I had like about 15 that were just, and I knew we're not going to be able to do them all. It's just one of those things where there's so many great movies made. There's a few that I would like to see. I didn't see the Rocket Man movie. I don't know I don't know the cat's name. It does.
Taron Egerton. Yeah. That's my number one favorite.
He was in Kingsman. And this, I'm going to tell you guys something kind of funny. And did you see Kingsman?
No.
Did you see Kingsman?
I did not.
Kingsman is a sort of like a more lighthearted James Bond kind of movie, all right? And they did a sequel called Golden Circle, which is a total piece of shit. However, this is really weird. In Golden Circle, one of the plot points is this evil Golden Circle has kidnapped Elton John.
What?
And Taron
Egerton.
Egerton is the star of the...
That's too much.
And he has to rescue Elton John. So, and there,
this is all full circle
when
now.
I first started watching the movie, they show the character's office, and there's this like National Enquirer thing hanging up said Elton missing, and I thought, oh, that's weird. And Elton John is actually in the freaking movie.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, and I mean that's the only thing that's kind of interest in the film. It's a totally dumb. It does. I mean, it got bad reviews. It's a total piece of shit. But I just thought that was like, okay, maybe that's where they came up with the idea that Taron would play Elton. And I don't know. It's just kind of a
I think Elton John has a pretty good sense of humor because you ever seen the movie Bruno at the ending credits? He actually started singing about anal bleaching at the
that
end.
That is the reason I hate Sacha Baron Cohen. That is the reason right there.
The thing I heard that Sacha Baron Cohen was going to do the Freddie Mercury. He wasn't going to do Bohemian Rhapsody. He's just hard to work with. And B, I think Freddie Mercury might have been 5'10", maybe. Sacha Baron Cohen is fucking 6'4".
I don't know
what that's going to look like, but I mean, yeah, I mean, things I've read and heard, he's just hard to deal with, and they just kind of lucked out. I mean, I don't know any other thing other than, what is it, Mr. Robot that Mr. Malick was in, but, you know.
Well,
he was in Night at the Museum, too,
the
original.
Bruno, what was the movie before Bruno, where Kazakhstan and all?
Dumb, that's what it is. It's just called Dumb.
I'm sorry to say.
Borat.
It's just one of my favorite, that movie is Fall Down, Piss Your Friggin' Pants Funny.
I laughed my ass off, but I felt a little bit bad when I found out that he really punked all those people. Like, and then he had to go back and get their permission to use it in a film. But what you're seeing on the screen is their, like, real reactions. They don't know that this guy is making a crazy movie. And then I kind of felt a little weird, like that was a little questionable. But I laughed my ass off. And I thought Bruno is one of those movies, like, you either laugh or you go like, this is fucking disgusting and I'm not watching it.
After the penis spoke, I was done.
I know. It's just like.
I wanted to leave.
You just got to like, can you take it or can't you?
I'm like, no.
After he's wrestling Azamat on the bed and fuck naked in the head. I mean, that shit is just. Either you're going to laugh. I mean, I've seen that in the theater. I almost fell out of my seat, man.
Oh, God. Okay. We could talk about this shit all day. We need to kind of start reining stuff in here. I need to do one thing. I never got to share it. So, screw it. I need to go to. Here we go. Okay. We got a bunch of folks that chimed in this week. And I just want to give shout outs. I can't mention all your movies. Okay. Dave Holiday. Thank you. He talked about Richie Hears the New York Dolls. Something about the New York Dolls. Is there a movie about that? Tom.
There was a little series on HBO called Vinyl, which was awesome.
Tom Feely talked about The Ruddles, which is, we're not talking about mockumentaries here like Spinal Tap and The Ruddles, but thank you for chiming in. Scott Harding. Dan O. And I believe you guys got in on this. He talked about the Gary Busey story. The Gary Busey story. The Buddy Holly story with Gary Busey.
Dan O.
John Fox talks about Tom Hulce's portrayal of Mozart and Gary Oldman's portrayal of Beethoven, which aren't really rock, but I think those were cool movies.
I liked Amadeus. I didn't see the other one.
so just a shout out to some of those folks. Some other people chimed in too, real quick. I believe Cody Gray, Ron Poole, Tim Johnson. Oh, and we did not mention, and because we threw out a few fictional people there. We should throw out Michael Pear as from Eddie and the Cruisers. Eddie Wilson is Eddie and the Cruisers. You didn't like Eddie and the Cruisers?
No, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Okay. I have the soundtrack too.
I have both one and two on Blu-ray. Fun movies. If you're a rock fan, it's kind of a cool kind of thing. Any parting shots, closing comments before we wrap up today's show? Keith Hawkins.
Oh shit! I forgot one. It was really good. Angela Bassett as Tina Turner in What's Love Got to Do With It.
I know. That's on my list too. I love that movie.
Lawrence Fishburne as Ike.
I don't care. I want my name. Just want my name.
They both hated that movie.
Yeah. Well, that are you serious? That's crazy because that movie I thought was well done.
I mean, Ike and Tina both hated that movie.
Oh really? All right. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Ike hates everything.
Well, he hates his whole life. So.
But is that the only thing you want to say anything else, Keith, before we wrap up?
No, I just want to give a shout out to anybody that likes to hear me talk.
Well, you got two of us here, so
we there you go. Talk. That's all I need. That gives me reason to live and keep going on.
And Lily V. All right, brother. Lily V6, what do you got before we roll out of here?
Just listening to my show, Hot Licks with Lily 6, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, rockrageradio.com, or download the free app, Rock Rage Radio. And I will be at the Goo Goo Dolls on Friday in New York. So I'll be going live for that.
Wow. It's like the New York Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh, wait. And I'll be at Bang Tango and Faster Pussycat on Thursday here.
Faster Cat.
Specifically for Ace Von Johnson. Let's be real.
Are you done with That's your all. Little sexual fantasies?
Yes.
Well, we're talking about Lily's sexual fantasies in a minute. Go to LouLombardiRocks.com and get in on the after party. Make sure you bring your own booze. We do not supply alcohol. That would be illegal. LoudiniRockAndRollCircus.com is our website. Tons of great content there, guys. You definitely, if you're a fan of great guitar-driven rock, you want to check it out. Special shout-out to our affiliates, Rock Rage Radio and Classic 92.3. You guys are the greatest. Thank you so much for being excited about great guitar-driven rock and about the Loudini Rock and Roll Circus. Like what you heard tonight. You enjoy what we're doing. You believe in the music that we're playing here. You love bands like Lady Beast, Stone Cold Killer and the like, then please hit us up on Patreon, patreon.com/LouLombardi. Guys, that is it. We are going to rock out. I'm gonna rock out. Who are we gonna play one more? We got one more we're gonna play. Let me take a look at my oh, okay. Dark Entries. These guys have Mickey Hernandez has been a a supporter of the show for a long time, and we love those guys, at LA Band. So we're going to wrap up with those guys. Creatures of the Night, Dark Entries on the Lou. And don't forget, we just, what happened to?
Everything just kind of pooped.
We lost everything. We pooped out.
Wow.
All right. So don't forget, guys, Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We'll catch you next time. This is Dark Entries on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
You seem to be performing some sacred ritual.
Lying on